And why the folks are hearing that on the radio is beyond me. It actually was set right, but anyway, there you go. And as I was saying, I'm glad you're here. I'm delighted to be here. And I think you're going to be fairly well stunned by tonight's show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. We're here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Over the last 12 hours or so, I have been flooded with email, and I mean flooded with email, and all of it having to do with a report circulating on the internet that claims that the earthquakes experienced in Colorado and Virginia on August 23rd were not from natural causes. As a matter of fact, this report claims that the earthquakes in Colorado and in Virginia were caused by nuclear blasts far underground in the U.S. government's intercontinental tunnel system. And it alleges a few things additional as well. Well, tonight we're going to examine that claim pretty much in detail. And so you want to be sure you stay tuned for the entire show. I don't know whether we will get the chance to open the telephone lines or not, because this is a very, very big thing we're going to try and sort and see what all the pieces look like. So we may or may not have the opportunity to open the phone lines. I will be joined on the other side of this break by Walter Bosley. Walter Bosley is formerly the U.S. Air Force OSI, Chief of Counter-Espionage Operations at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. So we're going to be getting his input and expertise on this information. We have something called the K-Files. Those of you who are brand new to the show don't know about it. It's our free weekly newsletter. And I want to emphasize the word free. It really is free. No strings attached. It's not a Washington, D.C. free, you know, where there are strings attached. It's really free. If you're not getting the K-Files, subscribe right now. You do that by going to my website and simply scroll that. Well, you don't even have to scroll down. It's right in the middle of your screen. It says K-Files. Click on that and subscribe. You will get an email that has a confirmation link in it that you have to click in order to activate your subscription. If you don't click it, you won't get the K-Files. Okay, so it's a two-step process. We do that to make sure we don't spam anybody. And we would love to have you in our subscriber group and getting the K-Files. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said right at the top of the show, we're going to try and wrap our minds around a really, really big and sticky story that's out there. And when I say we, I mean you, me, and Walter Bosley. Walter, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, thanks for having me back on, Kevin. Always good to be here.
Walter, I sent you the couple of articles that we're going to look at tonight, and I sent you a video with sound as well. So you're up on this and ready to rock and roll. Let me lay this out for our audience. ladies and gentlemen, there is a very prolific source. By prolific, I mean it exactly what the word means. A prolific source of articles on the internet, and this source is called Sorcha Fall. And the thing about Sorcha Fall, a lot of people read the Sorcha Fall material, and they, a lot of people think, well, you know, it's on the internet, it's got to be true. And by the way, you know, Sorcha Fall says that this information is coming from some kind of inside report inside the Kremlin. So this has got to be true. Sorcha Fall is, this is just my estimation, I think about 98% of the time, is great loads, truckloads of manure. I think most of it is fabrication. I think most of it is, well, it's not reliable information. And so Sorcha Fall, in my opinion, is not a reliable source for information. I've done, in fact, Walter, you joined me in a show where we dealt with Sorcha Fall. And what we talked about was that Sorcha Fall sometimes does put out something that sort of rings true. And sometimes it's, some of it is kind of verifiable. So we're looking at this one. I'll give you the details of this report. But we're looking at this one both in terms of the content that's in it and the reliability of the information, the plausibility of the information. Now, this report deals, ladies and gentlemen, with the earthquake. Almost everybody knows there was an earthquake in Virginia. It was felt in Washington, D.C. The president was informed of this on the golf course in Martha's Vineyard. You've seen video clips of the White House shaking and the Capitol building shaking and so forth. For those around the world who don't know, Virginia is, Washington, D.C. is very, very close to Virginia. Washington, D.C. is not a state. It's not actually, well, it's a district. It's a district that is, it does not have statehood. All 50 states own that district. And, but it's right up next to Virginia. So this earthquake happened. But there was another earthquake that same day out in Colorado. This was August the 23rd, and the one in Colorado, epicenter was at Trinidad, and that is south of Denver. And it's right down next to the southern state line of Colorado. So this report, you can always tell, no matter where you read this on the internet, if it starts out like this: a frightening Foreign Military Intelligence Directorate, and it says GRU, that's what it's called in Russia, report circulating in the Kremlin today. Anything that starts off telling you that it's a frightening report or an amazing report or an astounding report, and it's circulating in the Kremlin, guarantee you go to the Sorcha Fall website, you'll find that article. That's the source. So this is Sorcha Fall. And here's, I'm going to read the first paragraph, and then I will summarize the following paragraphs. So this frightening Foreign Military Intelligence Directorate report circulating in the Kremlin today states that over the past nearly 36 hours, the vast intercontinental military tunnel complex constructed by the United States Air Force over the past nearly 45 years was hit with two powerful nuclear explosions at its main terminuses, that's the word they used, in Colorado and Virginia, used nearly exclusively by the Central Intelligence Agency. And then it goes on to say that this attack actually began with an event the day before, August the 22nd. And it began when they opened an air evacuation tunnel, or it's a big conduit, big tunnel, but it's used to evacuate bad air out of the intercontinental tunnel system that is under the United States, and apparently that really does exist. And anyway, they opened this thing at the MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida, and it allowed millions of cubic feet of air to rush suddenly into the atmosphere, causing a unique sound that was heard at the baseball stadium in Tampa, and was caught on the microphones of the radio and TV newscasters who were there, sportscasters who were there. I'll play you that video in just a minute. It says the Russian engineers are well acquainted with this unique sound because they are working at preparing additional 5,000 bomb shelters ordered by Prime Minister Putin. And they have opened these types of air evacuation tunnels in their underground system, and it makes that sound that you're going to hear. People from Canada, Lithuania, and Scotland have also reported these strange sounds. All right, here is something that I'm going to read now. So this is a quote. Within a few hours of the venting of this vast tunnel complex, this report continues, a nuclear device was detonated at its western terminus located near Trinidad, Colorado, with a second blast occurring nearly 12 hours later at the eastern terminus near Culpeper, Virginia, which that's inaccurate. It was Mineral, Virginia. And both causing powerful earthquakes felt by tens of millions of Americans. This report goes on to state that what this is all about is a big conflict going on between the U.S. military and the CIA. And the CIA was moving or planning to move or moving something from their Langley, Virginia location to their new location in the underground base under the Denver airport. Now that, you know, that maybe that's true. I mean, we've heard a lot of reports about, I don't mean to say maybe this military and CIA war is true, but they, you know, maybe they were moving something in the tunnel about that. I don't know. Because, you know, we've been hearing about this underground tunnel system and the base underneath the airport in Denver for a number of years now. Now, this report ends with this statement. The ultimate losers end up being the American people whose delight in total ignorance as to what is happening around them continues to astound the whole world. And I want to say something about that before we move forward. That statement is true. If you leave the United States and get out into the rest of the world, you will discover, if you'll listen and pay attention, they are absolutely astounded, not only at the massive ignorance of the United States citizens as to what's happening all around them, but at their apparent delight in being ignorant. And, I mean, that's absolutely true. Walter, now I want to bring you into this. You've been around the world. Would you say that that's pretty much true, that people are astounded around the world at both the ignorance and the delight of the American people in being ignorant?
Well, in all honesty, you know, you're going to find ignorance anywhere, and you do find it all over the world. But we do have kind of a reputation, and not without good reason, having it of being bubbled and, you know, living in a bubble and sheltered. You know, Americans like to, at least in recent decades, you know, Americans just want to go to their jobs, come home, you know, watch the football game, watch the reality TV, and be left alone. You know, it's not it's not an entirely undeserved reputation.
Yeah. Now, I do want to say this to our friends who are listening all around the world. At the same time that I agree that we do have that reputation around the world, you need to understand that here in the United States, there are a great many of us who are not ignorant of what's going on around us. Many, many of us. And we are a bit astounded at our fellow Americans who seem to delight in their ignorance. And we do everything we can to try and wake them up to what's going on. Having said that, let's jump into this whole thing about the earthquakes. Virginia and Colorado are many, many hundreds of miles away from each other. But the first blast, if it was a blast, or the first earthquake, took place in Colorado. It was a 5.3. It took place at Trinidad, Colorado. Now, there's a highway leaving north out of Trinidad. So if you go follow that highway straight north, you wind up in Denver. Before you get to Denver, though, you'll go through Colorado Springs, and that's an important place, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. The other earthquake took place in Virginia at Mineral, Virginia, and it is northwest of Richmond, Virginia, approximately 40 miles. It is southwest of Washington, D.C., something like 55 to 60 miles. So it's not far from Richmond, Virginia. It's not far from Washington, D.C. Walter, before we get into the meat of what we're going to look at, let me just get your reaction to this Sorcha Fall article. What you think there's any possibility of plausibility there?
I think there's a possibility that a degree of that could be true. I don't think it's out of line to speculate that, you know, it's possible that there is an underground tunnel system. I mean, we remember that it was a very real news story in the 70s when they were talking about the MX missile program that would be just that. It would be mobile missiles on subterranean rail systems where they could just keep them moving. And, of course, you know, our Cold War foe at the time wouldn't be able to know exactly where our missiles were, you know. And this would be a subterranean train system of tunnels and such underneath the entire continent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any plausibility at all, or a possibility of plausibility, that these earthquakes could have been caused by a nuclear blast at each location deep under the surface?
Certainly. I mean, we know that underground tests have, you know, caused seismic reactions in the past. So far, I see nothing in there. Actually, you know what? The only thing I see in the report is that I would question the validity of is the confident assumption that the CIA is moving their headquarters. You know, unless that's been reported that I never heard of, they're not going to know if the CIA is putting in a station in Denver Airport. So that's, and I make that point to say that people would think all this bombs going off under the ground and underground bases and stuff like that would be the crazy part of it. No, to me, the part that I question is, you know, the comment about the CIA moving their headquarters there. That part I question.
Well, there's another part that I question.
The possibility of plausibility that, you know, this could be underground nuclear explosions, of course. That possibility is reasonable entirely.
All right. There is another part of that report that causes me to raise an eyebrow, and I really question that part of the report, and that is the assertion that there is a massive conflict going on between the U.S. military and the CIA. Now, there may be. I mean, you know, I'm not in the U.S. military, and I'm certainly not in the CIA. so I don't have access to inside information about such things as that. So there may be this massive conflict, but I really doubt that.
Find that comical, to be honest. To me, that's good old-fashioned propaganda. The only conflict between the military and the CIA is who's going to be whose coffee bitch on the whatever their assignment they're on together. So that to me is old Soviet-style propaganda.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me, and like I say, I don't have inside information, so I guess because of that, I would have to say anything's possible. But, you know, I think if there was something like that going on, we would see indications of it on a daily basis right here in the good old USA. I don't think
Absolutely.
You can keep that very, very quiet. Okay, now having said that, let me share with all the folks who are listening right now an interesting article in the New York Times. Okay, this came out on the day of the earthquake. So the Denver earthquake has happened. Well, not Denver, but Colorado. The Colorado earthquake has happened. And so the New York Times published this article. And they say that the largest natural earthquake in Colorado in more than a century struck Monday night in the state's southeast corner, but there were no reports of damage or injuries. All right, now, that's not shocking, is it? What's interesting about this is that this article takes the time to point something out about earthquakes in Colorado that a lot of people may not know. We're going to take a break. Walter, as we went to break, I said this article in the New York Times tells us something about Colorado earthquakes that a lot of people probably don't know. There is a person by the name of Julie Dutton, D-U-T-T-O-N. She is a geophysicist at the National Earthquake Information Center in Golden, Colorado, and she was the person who was answering questions, making comments, etc., that served as the core of this article. And she said, now remember, this article starts off by saying the largest natural earthquake in Colorado in more than a century struck Monday night. Well, that would be August the 23rd. Well, she says Colorado had experienced several earthquakes close to Monday's size in recent decades. But, see, we start off by hearing that the largest natural earthquake in Colorado in more than a century struck Monday night. And here she says that there are earthquakes close to that size that have happened in the past several decades, or in recent decades. There was a magnitude 5.3 near Denver. Well, this one was 5.3 that happened on August 23rd. But the one in Denver happened in 1967. There was a magnitude 5.7 in the state's northwest corner in 1973. But here it is. Both of these quakes were ultimately determined to have been caused by human activity from explosives or drilling. So we have a history in Colorado of earthquakes being caused by explosives rather than fault lines, rather than the normal natural process. So, and not just earthquakes. You know, some people, in fact, I had one person, Walter, that wrote to me, and said, in response to this Sorcha Fall article, if it was from some kind of an explosion, it would have to be, and I quote, one hell of an explosion to cause a 5.9 earthquake. Well, here we've got a 5.7
right
that happened in Colorado in 1973 caused by explosives.
Sure. error. You're talking about, you know, a pressure point system. It doesn't have to be such a super massive explosion if the explosion is placed in the right spot. The idea is to have a big enough to, start things rumbling like a stack of dominoes. So it doesn't have to be so super massive to cause an earthquake that big.
Well, another thing is the one in Colorado. Colorado mostly sits on a seismically very stable area.
Right.
Down near Trinidad, Trinidad sits on top of a fault system. Okay.
Right.
That earthquake was felt 350 miles away. The one up in Virginia, that part of our country, underneath all the dirt, and you dig down, well, there is a thick layer that's almost like a concrete block that almost all of the northeast United States sits on, this solid slab.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so any kind of shock wave will propagate through that slab. And so it was felt as much as 800 miles away. And so you don't have to have a really massive explosion. It's not a firecracker. It's a big explosion, but it's not the bigger ones. It's not the biggest ones. You wouldn't have to have an H bomb going off under there. You could have a relatively small nuclear explosion,
right?
And it would cause those earthquakes.
Well, let me lay some new info on you. First, let's jump over to the question that you often ask me with things like this. I have referred to the big U.S. map of ley lines that Sesheri created for me, and as you might imagine, he's got a ley line going through the area of the Virginia quake, specifically that Spotsylvania Fault. And he's got a ley line going through the vicinity of Trinidad. Now, you've heard me talk about this before, and it's not surprising, about these ley lines in association with things geographically. And here we're talking about this, and sure enough, the ley.
Well, I don't know what happened to Walter, but his audio has gone bye-bye. Isn't that interesting? Walter, I don't know if you can hear me. If you can, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to just hang up and try you on another line. All right. So we will do that right now and see if we can get Walter back. Somebody apparently doesn't want Walter talking with us. You heard it, didn't you? It just went dead. All right, let's give this another try. And we'll see if we get Walter back. Well, at least it's ringing this time.
Hello? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, well, that ley line thing may be a real raw nerve, but
Let's touch that. Let me poke that raw nerve one more time.
Yeah, let's do that.
What's that?
Let's do that. Go ahead.
Alrighty, okay. As I was saying, gentlemen, who may be listening other than the listeners, you recall what I was... We're talking about the ley line system and Joseph Farrell and Scott DeHart's new book, Grid of the Gods, in which they specifically, in more than one chapter, discuss the early nuclear weapons developers when they were setting off, detonating the weapons at certain spots that were associated with the power grid of the Earth. The effect of the detonation would be more than the sum of its parts, if you catch my drift. In other words, you pop that bomb off the grid, and you would not have the same result, the same power generated, as if you dropped the same magnitude of bomb on the grid. So I find it real interesting. You know, I say there's no war going on underground. What it probably is the Russian sly way of, you know, telling us that we know you're testing weapons underground. And these might have been weapons tests. The tests were done on the grid, so to speak. And it's like a booster. You pop a bomb off on the grid, you're going to get extra power because the grid gives you the extra power. And
I'll tell you what, though. I have my doubts about that being a planned test, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. The one in Mineral, the one that took place in Mineral, Virginia, Mineral, Virginia is a real small town. I mean, it really is a small town in America. But about 5 miles outside of town, there are two nuclear power stations.
Right.
I can't see them setting off a nuclear bomb as a test underneath Mineral, Virginia.
Well, I don't think, now, Mineral is where the epicenter of the quake was. That doesn't necessarily mean that's where the detonations were, if they were test detonations. Mm-hmm. They could have been somewhere else back east, and the epicenter, it just so happened that the epicenter of the particular quake it caused could have been in Mineral. And think about how that might have scared the bejesus out of them. It's like, wow, that's a little bit close to these nuclear plants. However, I see your point that because that's a little close to nuclear plants, you know, they think these things through and they would have had to have anticipated that, you know, if they thought they might have even caused an earthquake that close, but you're right, they wouldn't test detonate something that close. So upon analysis, it's less likely, but it's possible.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing about this, you know, we're saying that this report from Sorcha Fall does have some elements to it that ring true, but that doesn't mean that everything in that report rings true. Now, here's one of the problems I have with the idea that there were any nuclear blasts under there. This doesn't completely derail the idea, but when a blast goes off, there's a detonation. And for a nanosecond, you have incredible percussion, and then the blast. Now, think of a bullet. Bullet has a little round circle at the back of it, most of them, and that's the firing cap. Okay? And when the hammer comes down and hits that firing cap, It causes a spark. That spark ignites powder, and that powder explodes, and then the bullet comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same kind of process, although the technology would be far different, but the same sort of process takes place in any kind of explosion. You have the initial detonation, which then ignites the explosive. And so right on the front, on the seismic graphs, right on the front end of this, we ought to see a big percussive spike if these were explosions. I've looked. Now, you know, we have to assume that the seismic graphs that have been released out on the internet to the public, we have to assume either those are accurate or they've been doctored. If they are accurate, there's no big percussive spike on the front end of either of these earthquakes. If they've been doctored, then what they've done is they've photoshopped out the spike.
Well, how many independent seismology centers are there that would be independent of such manipulation? And I'd be curious to know what their readings were.
Oh, there would be hundreds of them around the United States and in other countries that could pick this up.
Yeah. Now, here's something that we had discussed in the past, that, you know, the possibility, we've talked about weather weapons and earthquake weapons. What a coincidence that we have such a massive storm front on the East Coast preparing to hit the coast just, you know, within 24 hours of this anomalous earthquake on our East Coast. And yet another one hits practically, you know, simultaneously in an area of the country where we know there's very important defense and government presence. What if these were attacks? Tesla weapons.
Well, it could be that. And, of course, if it is that, there is no percussion. There wouldn't be any percussive wave right at the beginning of the seismograph. There would just be earthquakes. Now, I want to address something. We'll come back to that. But I want to address something I think is very important. And that is that the news reports and on the internet, people are saying that this mineral, Virginia, there's no known fault zone there. Well, there is, and we'll talk about that when we come back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. When we went to break, Walter, I said that, you know, especially the one in Virginia, it's being reported out there. I heard it on television after I don't watch television. But after I heard about this earthquake, I turned it on to see what news I could find. And I heard on two different channels where they were saying that there was no known fault line. And that's not the case. There is, under Mineral Virginia, a fault line. And, you know, this brings up the reports that we've heard so often about why are almost all of our nuclear reactors built on or near these fault lines? Well, I can't answer that. I don't know why. But there is a fault line called the Spotsylvania, is that right? Yeah, Spotsylvania Fault. And it runs, actually, Mineral Virginia sits almost on top of this thing. The reactors sit virtually on top of it. There are two nuclear reactors there, two nuclear power stations there. Both of them are on a 1,700-acre complex. And it sits right at the south end of this Spotsylvania Fault Zone. And this fault zone runs from there, northeast, right straight up toward Washington, D.C. Now, it doesn't go all the way to Washington, but it goes really close to Washington. So there is a fault. There's a fault zone there. And I didn't get a map of it, but there is a fault zone right under Trinidad. So it seems to me that, you know, part of the options we have to look at have to be that these could be natural earthquakes, and this could be possibly being triggered by the expansion of the magma in the Yellowstone caldera. If it's swelling, if it's moving, if it's getting bigger, it's going to push things in every direction. And it could be that that's what put pressure on these fault zones and caused these earthquakes. But it also means these are very obvious kinds of targets. If you have earthquake technology, Tesla technology to cause earthquakes, who do you suspect would have possibly aimed their Tesla technology at these fault zones and tickled them into action? Who do you suspect, Walter?
Oh, the Chinese come to mind. Maybe the Russians. Could be some of the some of the players that, again, I refer back to Joseph Farrell and Scott DeHart. You know, they talk about an elite that's playing games. I think her name is it Judy Wood, who's written the book about the scalar weapons being used at on 9/11 at the World Trade Center. And you know, there's it could be anybody that could conceivably afford to develop or possess you know, the technology.
Well, you know, I certainly, on the one hand, I want everybody to understand this. Everything we're talking about here, we're speculating and trying to sort through this source of all material. And it is speculation. And I certainly would not want to lay blame on the Russians or the Chinese. But in speculating, the Chinese own a great deal of the American debt. And it's in their best interest for the American economy to get well.
I don't know about that. I'm just going to throw out a speculation here for the sake of discussion. I see your point, and yeah. I think on the most practical level, yeah, I guess you could say that. However, the Chinese stand poised to be the number one economic power in this century that we're in. And I'll tell you, the last thing they want, for instance, is in the next election, say, to have a more pro-America, more pro-business, let's get America back in business, let's get the economy back on its feet. That's the last thing they want. I would see where they'd have a stake in wanting to mess with us or maybe warn us and say, okay, you know, you guys, this is a warning to you. We can reach out and tap you. You know, that gets into a much longer conversation. But basically, I see where they would have a stake in keeping us down. If anything's going to cause World War III, it's going to be economy and resources. And position, and I think China sees themselves as this 21st century is their century, and they don't want us out, regardless of the debt that, you know, they own. You know, they want to have power and control over us. I don't trust them.
Okay, let's talk about Russia for a moment. Mm-hmm. Now, what we do have in Russia is just a few months ago, one of their members of parliament, one of their representatives in the Duma, went on a rant on Russian television, screaming about the United States of America and certain things that he was upset with, and that if we didn't make certain decisions that he thought we should make or that Russia thought we should make, that Russia has the capability of bringing the United States down within 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Non-nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he actually said that. And some of you folks listening, you sent me the links to that video, and so you're aware of it. You've seen that video. You know that you know what I'm talking about. He was pretty bombastic in his statements. And openly threatened the United States and said that Russia has the capability of bringing the United States down mm-hmm. in 15 minutes.
And there would be referring to hacking the internet digital grid, simply. You know, or maybe it's Tesla technology, so to speak.
Russia had Tesla technology before we did.
Indeed.
Here in the United States, technology and people developing technology, particularly for the military, after World War II, they in majority followed Einstein. In Russia, in majority, they followed Tesla. And they developed Tesla technology before we did. In fact, our development of Tesla technology was in response to the woodpecker signal. And that's when they really got serious here in the United States about developing Tesla technology. At least that's the information that's out in the public domain. So they certainly would have the technology. They had four HARP devices before we had our first one. So I see what you're saying about China. I'm not, of course, China's very, very closed about what kind of technology they've got. But listen, just folks, just the number of really smart people in China outnumbers the entire population of the United States of America. Think about that. Just you take the top, say the top 2% of China that are really brilliant. That outnumbers the entire population of the United States. We'll be back after this. Pakistan is a nuclear power, and that means they are extremely high tech. And it's possible, is it not, that Pakistan may have some of this Tesla technology with which they could stimulate earthquakes. Is that a possibility, or do you know something?
I would doubt that Pakistan. I think with Pakistan, it takes all they got just to have the what we know about. We're talking, you know, what we used to call a superpower. These are the kind of people that you know. These are the kind of folks that would possess this kind of technology, or specially focused groups with a lot of influence and power, which, you know, goes into, you know, kind of a secret, you know, Marconian or elite type of group, that kind of thing. You look at the works of Joseph Farrell, and he talks about, you know, the Nazi International and things like that. And I know the UFO people, don't like to hear it, but his book Roswell and the Reich makes a really great argument that what happened at Roswell was, you know, of very much an earthly origin, and I think, you know, it's got to be considered. It has to be considered. The United States, China, Russia, maybe England. These are the kinds of nations that are going to have this. I don't see Pakistan having
it. Well, Norway's got it.
I see maybe India before Pakistan.
The biggest one on the planet is in Norway.
The biggest what on the planet?
The biggest HARP-type facility.
Europe. Yeah, there you go. You know, the NATO mm-hmm. nations. I mean, think of, okay, what you got to do is you got to go back to not just the, you know, certainly go back to the era where Tesla was alive and influential, but you more specifically go to World War II and, you know, look at who would be the benefactors of the technology that the German scientists were working on. You know, any of the Allied nations, you know, the Northern European Allied nations, certainly. You know, would be the benefactors of that, and that's
well, and Russia.
And Russia, because you know they got their share of mm-hmm. the Nazi spooky tech, and you know they would have a stake in messing with us as much as anyone would. They would have a stake in doing this just to show that they're still players. You know, remember they're kind of like the, you know, a bully on the playground who got his ass whooped, you know, back when, you know, there was they fell and everything when the Soviet Union fell, and they're the tough guy on the playground that's trying to show he's still tough. And when you got Putin, who actually runs things over there, I don't care if they have a president, Putin's running the show. He's an old hardline Soviet guy. That's his background.
I read an article.
Be trusted. So, there's good reason to say it's the Russians. There's good reason to say it's the Chinese. But there's also very good reason to look elsewhere. These are just the players that we know about.
You were talking about
the unseen hand.
You were talking about Putin, and Putin is an interesting individual. I read an article about him, and I assume the article was somewhat accurate, but this article says, you know, he used to be KGB, and when he first applied to the KGB, they turned him down twice. He didn't get in till the third time, and the reason was the KGB said this guy's too gung-ho.
There you go, see? That is his reputation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's you have to consider that.
Okay, so if we consider that, and if we say, okay, it was not a nuclear blast, if that's not what it was, then I would have to say that the Source of Fall article is a propaganda cover to make it look like it's internal strife in the United States. But what's it a cover for, and who is it a cover for? And Source of Fall, of course, is publishing things that are allegedly inside information from the Kremlin. So this would point the finger back at the Kremlin, wouldn't it? If it turns out that this story about the nuclear blast is not true, then the purpose for that article may be to cover something for the Kremlin. And, in other words, the Kremlin possibly set off some earthquakes here in the U.S. And then Sorcha Fall publishes this article that talks about the earthquakes and gives us the cover story that it was nuclear blasts as a result of this warfare between the U.S. military and the CIA, which I have never seen exist. Both of us have spent a lot of time on military bases, and both of us know that there are CIA people on most military bases, or on many military bases, and they work together.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. It's you know, the kind of rivalries that go on are the agency guys and bureau guys, you know, because sometimes they swim in the same pool, you know, you get that kind of thing. But it's kind of like this. It's kind of like brothers in a family. You know, they're beating on each other and whooping on each other all the time and one-upsmanship and stuff. But you let somebody from outside the family, you know, knock one of them around, and, you know, the whole family, you know, we're all brothers. And
All of the strife,
certain things get exaggerated at certain times, and that's classic disinformation to want to spread the idea, because there's just enough dumb people out there, you know, listening to this crap that are going to believe this disinformation.
Well, yeah, but look, the nature of the strife that I have seen, and I've seen a little friction, you know, between agency people and military. We've seen it in the news between agency people and the FBI over the years. We've seen little, you know, skirmishes, and this is not fighting, but just arguments. But it's all about budget and jurisdiction.
You know, it's not. I mean, come on. For there to be a shooting war between the CIA and the military is so laughable that it amazes me that if they tried to float that. That's what's laughable to me.
Oh, well, Sorcha Fall did try to float that. Sorcha Fall did float that.
They're going to tell me that I'm crazy or that I'm a disinfo agent, you know. But, you know, it's whatever. And it could be that instead of disinfo, it is wild speculation. Maybe Sorcha Fall is actually one of these people who would believe this stuff.
It's possible. But look, That idea is definitely floated here in the in this article by Sorcha Fall. It says, most interesting to note is that the attack comes nearly a decade to the day after the September 11, 2011 internal war between the CIA. And see, that date, September 2011 is ahead of us. But I know what they're saying, September the 11th, 2001. Internal war between the CIA and U.S. military establishment that rained destruction upon America and then the world, but whose final battle has yet to be fought or won by either side. So the idea that the U.S. military is at war with the CIA and vice versa is definitely stated in this article. I find that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why, to me, it's laughable that they would, that it, either the source of that is someone who believes that, or it's a ridiculous idea being floated by the Russians just to, you know, keep the idea out there, just to see if they can, you know, cause as much chaos between us as they can. Philosophical chaos, social chaos, you know, whatever you want to call it. But it's kind of ridiculous. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm one of those that there's something fishy about 9/11. I think we don't know the whole story. I'm just not buying into it being, you know, the evil George W. and the NWO. It is possibly something that would be just as sinister as that, politically sinister, but I just don't think it's that. But that's, again, that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, I think for a first-year investigator looking at the official report on 9/11, a first-year investigator would have to back away from that and say, "Now, wait a minute, you know, what about this evidence over here? Well, we didn't consider that. Well, what about this evidence? We didn't consider that." Now, that is bad, 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 thoroughly rotten to the core, bad investigation.
So I heartily agree with you. You consider everything
that is
there that you find.
That's right.
To me, the idea of picking and choosing what you consider, oh my goodness, if people don't see through that, they're blind.
Yeah. So I think what we can say with some degree of accuracy and with some degree of certainty is that there are parts of the Sorcha Falls story that are possibly plausible. There are parts of it that are implausible outright. But there are parts of it that have some possible plausibility. Now, the reason, I'm going to say this again, the reason I say there is some possible plausibility there has to do with the New York Times article that quotes Julie Dutton of the National Earthquake Information Center in Golden, Colorado, where she talks about two earthquakes that have happened in recent decades that are about the same magnitude as this one that happened on August the 23rd. And she says they were caused by human activity from explosives or drilling. So we know that there is, within recent decades, there is some experience with having earthquakes of this magnitude caused by explosives in that state, in the state of Colorado. Mm-hmm. So that would tell us there is some possible plausibility to Sorcha Falls' article. Mm-hmm. It's a reach, but there's some possible plausibility there. We also know, because a former defense secretary, Cohen, made the statement in public that there are nations that can cause earthquakes at a distance with electromagnetic waves. He said that. That's on the record. So we know that's there. So there's some plausibility to that. How do you feel about opening up the phone lines?
Sounds good.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hello, Kevin. Can you hear me?
Yes, your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is James from Texas.
Hello, James. Go ahead.
I think both you and Mr. Bosley make a mistake in eliminating the possibility of interagency or agency military warfare. I can give you a sterling example of it.
Okay.
Which occurred under this last administration before Obama.
Okay.
There was an Air Force base that was also a repository for nuclear warheads. And they had a group come in there that were CIA, represented themselves under orders to take over, and began to transport warheads without providing protocol. And when they started to do that, the former CO and his security people objected and they were killed. Then it was stopped.
I remember
now,
that
this
story.
This was online. It didn't make it to media news, but it was online. Even had the base and had personnel at the base reporting on it.
Now, this is the incident, isn't it, where a plane made it all the way, I think, to Alabama or Georgia, somewhere. When it landed, the ground crew recognized that it was armed with nuclear weapons, and they had absolutely no paperwork or order saying that that plane should be armed. And they reported it and grounded the plane.
In this case, I don't think any of the warheads left. I think
so this is a different
number
incident.
Of people were killed, and on this website, it gave the names of all the people that were killed. There were like 18 or 19 of them.
Okay, Walter, what do you think about that?
I'd have to know the website that came from, because I don't know how to comment on that, because the internet is so full of stuff that is just made up and not true. That's almost beyond the pale. It is kind of beyond the pale. I'd honestly, before I could comment on that, I'd have to know the actual source, because you're talking something like that happened. There'd be a lot more military people associated with the people associated with that. Something like that.
Or it would be hushed up, just like it eventually was.
I don't know. I don't know how to comment on that. I don't know. I'd have to know the website that it came from.
Okay, but let's do this, Walter. Walter, let's do this.
Yep.
Let's assume for a moment that this is an accurate report, just for the sake of argument. If it really happened, don't you think this thing, they would have put a lid on this and hushed it up?
I don't know if they could have put a lid on something like that and hushed it up is part of my point. That's not something like, you're all working on a project that involves aliens and you all, are on the same team and your orders are to keep it secret and you do that for decades. This is like the Civil War type stuff with, having been involved with these agencies and such, I I'd have to see the source. It does not sound, to me, there's something, I'd have to see the source. It's hard for me to comment.
Okay, fair enough. James, you have confidence in the source, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was on a hard drive that I had burned, and I got a very interesting virus on that hard drive, but I copied everything.
Mm-hmm.
I can say this, that website was up for about 6 months. There's nobody using their clout to take it down for 6 months.
Is it gone now?
To see it. Huh?
Is it gone now?
Oh, it's been gone for 8 or 9 years that I know of. But these things come up and they disappear and they leave people's minds as fast as they do disappear. And I'll tell you one in particular is an article that was in the National Geographic the same year of Chernobyl, which gives a blow-by-blow description of what happened.
And it disappeared.
And Chernobyl...
Was this an article in a U.S.-based publication, or...?
Yeah, National Geographic.
National Geographic. National Geographic ran an article that gave a blow-by-blow depiction of this battle between the CIA...
No.
...over nuclear weapons.
Chernobyl. I'm giving that as an example of something that was fully documented and is no longer in the public mind.
Okay. I apologize. I see you were making a point about how soon people forget things. I don't know. I'm seeing that as kind of apples and oranges. I mean, Chernobyl happened several years ago. The article's there. People have not forgotten that Chernobyl happened.
The article has disappeared, though, Walter.
Oh, you mean you cannot find the article anywhere?
Unless you can find a back issue of that magazine, you won't be able to find it. It's not in their archives.
Okay, so they do have a digital archive list that you can go back and you're able to find all their other articles except this one on Chernobyl.
Well, there might be others. I didn't look for every article that they have that I wanted. But that one in particular is gone.
And it gave a blow-by-blow about what happened at Chernobyl is what you said.
Yeah. Okay.
Gorbachev ordered it.
Gorbachev ordered Chernobyl, is what the article said.
Yes. It gives a blow-by-blow description of exactly how it happened.
Oh, that Chernobyl was actually done. It wasn't an accident.
It was no accident. Exactly.
And this was in National Geographic. Wow. Do you remember what year?
The same year that Chernobyl went China.
That's interesting. That would be interesting to see a copy of that article, that's for sure.
Yeah. James, as always, very interesting. Thanks for the call. I have to move along because I have some other calls, but always interesting. I appreciate it. 623-447 Evan Smith Show, your first name and from where are you calling?
This is James from Enid.
Where is Enid? Is that in Oklahoma?
Yes, huh?
All right. Would you believe I've been through there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah? I sent you some pictures a few weeks back.
Refresh my memory. What are they pictures
moon
of?
Moon pictures.
Yeah.
But, there's some interesting things about the Colorado quake. I kind of watched a couple of the weather maps that we use here in Oklahoma that are really good. And I always zoom over to the Colorado area and look at how the storms form there in the Rockies, and then they drift this way. So the last month, there's been quite a few storms located right there over extinct volcanic area just south of there in New Mexico. So that whole area is, I feel, volcanic. Extinct volcanic is what they called it.
Well, and volcanic activity can trigger earthquakes.
Yeah. But also, a lot of that area is owned by the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
And the surface area is ranched. You know, the farmers own the upper area. But below ground, who knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at... what was the other map here? The earthquake map, the USGS earthquake map. Both of those earthquakes, their patterns right now look identical. The one in Virginia and the one in Colorado.
What would that suggest to you?
Mining operation.
Okay.
Similar blast.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when they go for gas here in Oklahoma, they do a fracking operation, and they blow the ground apart to get to that gas. So either, but those areas are full of minerals too. Well, even Mineral Virginia suggests that the place has got some kind of mineral value.
Yeah.
And Colorado is loaded with minerals. So is New Mexico. So all those volcanic areas are loaded with all kinds of things.
So you think that there's a possibility that there's nothing sinister about it other than it was some type of mining operation?
And that's one thought, but I'm watching the dormant volcanoes, or the extinct volcanoes. There's a list on the internet of those. There are 10 in New Mexico. There are 2 in Virginia. There's one right there near the Madrid Fault. There's another one in Arkansas that spills over into southern Oklahoma towards Sulphur. So I look at all these mineral areas. And then a few weeks ago, you had a YouTube or some video that you emailed me that showed extinct volcanic activity in California and Nevada.
That's correct.
So I kind of put all that together, and I just go, well, maybe this is extinct volcanic activity. One theory.
So extinct volcanoes that perhaps are not extinct, but
that's correct.
We've said they are, and they're beginning to come back to life and prove to us they're not extinct.
Yes.
Well, what do you think about what I said, you know, perhaps the giant super cavity of containing magma under Yellowstone, maybe that's expanding and it's pushing out in all directions and causing those extinct volcanoes to have a little life again. What do you think?
That's very possible.
Now, if that's the case, that's bad news.
That is very bad. I've noticed some different taste in our water, possibly. Now, we are on the edge of, well, Oklahoma, our watershed is right there. The aquifer is between, say, Enid and where this earthquake happened.
Uh-huh.
There is a very large watershed. There's a lot of water underground there.
You don't think it may be tasting different because they're putting lithium in it now?
That's possible.
Yeah. And hey, if you didn't know, NASA has announced they're going to start releasing lithium high in the atmosphere.
Yeah. Now, there's also, now these volcanoes would be putting out a sulfur, sulfur dioxide, which will affect some people, makes them very edgy.
Mm-hmm.
If they're allergic to it.
Yeah. Walter, what do you think about...
I know a couple of people that are allergic to the sulfur, and they've been acting kind of strange lately.
Okay. Walter, what do you think about the possibility that this is a mining operation?
Sure. I think that's totally reasonable. And you know, what's your name again?
James.
James. When James suggested by the very name of Mineral Virginia, that indicates that that's why that town was formed, was for, you know, mining and such. So, sure, why not? Maybe, you know, it could be that the mining triggered a volcanic response that caused these earthquakes, certainly. We can't discount that because, you know, the sinister is always more sexy. But the secret technology is always more sexy, but it could be that. But I'm trying to think, the mining would have to be done by, say, you know, a government agency or such to not, you know, come out and say this was caused by, you know, although, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a mining company wouldn't want to admit that, you know, they did something, you know, with an innocent intent and with near disastrous results, you know. But sure, mining, reasonable.
Yeah. That area is covered in Colorado with mining or oil leases. You can look at any Google map, and it's just covered with leases everywhere. So.
As is Oklahoma.
As in the 80s, when the oil boom kind of died out, those leases were all gathered up by really cheaply. So I'm sure the government grabbed a lot of it.
Right.
All right, James. Thanks for the call. Good information. Good information. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And you can participate in tonight's show by dialing that number, okay? Also, if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can use the flash message option on the website. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Jerry from Las Vegas.
Hello, Jerry.
My question is could, with this hurricane that's off the East Coast that suddenly turned north because of the high-pressure system that formed, could this these earthquakes have somehow affected the atmosphere to move the hurricane?
I like that.
Because if we're talking about the secret or nefarious technology being sexy, well, why not combine the latest natural disaster worry with these strange earthquakes?
Well, that's like we were saying earlier. With it's interesting how this huge, massive storm front was on its way, and then these earthquakes hit. We were talking about it from the angle of, you know, the weather weapon and the Tesla weapon. But what you're saying is equally, I think, a great idea. You know, what if whatever was done to deflect the storm as much as possible? That's intriguing. I kind of like that idea, and certainly it's as possible as, you know, the other one.
Well, that's right, Walter. I was just curious because some people I've seen on YouTube videos and stuff say they see atmospheric phenomena right before or during an earthquake, so I was wondering if that could affect the weather systems.
Why not? You know, why not? And certainly, you know, we've been messing with this Tesla technology since Tesla came up with it, you know, started fooling with it, you know, in the late 1800s. Look how far, you know, the development of aircraft went in far less than 100 years. You know, we went from, you know, Kitty Hawk to jets and going into space within, what was it, 60-something years?
Yeah.
Well, just take the 9 years of World War II. Then at 3 months during that period,
exactly.
They went from jets in Germany.
You know, the Tesla technology has existed for, what is it, 130 years now? You know, he was fooling around with stuff, so... You know, and then when you accelerate the development, no, I like the idea that maybe it was something to deflect. Maybe the weather front was an attack, and the earthquakes were our response to deflect the attack.
That could be true, because it could have been headed directly for D.C. and New York, and now it might hit Nova Scotia instead.
I only laugh because I have a friend up there.
Jerry, thank you so much for the call. Interesting ideas. Very interesting ideas. And we want to hear your ideas. 623-444-5889. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. I didn't understand the significance of the rushing noise down in Tampa.
Oh, you know what? I didn't play that. Let me play that right now so everybody can hear it. I'm glad you called in and mentioned that. Let's take a moment and play that. Here we go.
That's a haunting sound, if we've ever heard one.
Now what could that possibly be? Somebody shut the door.
Okay. Oh, now we got echo. There we go.
I like that.
Okay, so the apparently, you're talking about what was the significance of that in that Source of Fall article?
Yes.
I had the same question. Apparently, the position of the article is that for some reason they had to evacuate air out of that tunnel. Perhaps, and I'm just speculating because the article doesn't say this, perhaps that is how whoever did this gained access to the tunnels to set these explosives, as related in the Source of Fall article. Other than that, I don't know what the significance would be. But that is so weird now. I mean, that sound, and you're at a ball game in Tampa, and this sound starts flooding through Tampa enough that the sportscasters comment, you know, that is a weird sound. What is that? If it had been a train blowing its whistle, we all know what that sounds like. They would have never commented on it. So this was something that was very unfamiliar to them.
And you said that it was located at a military base, or?
No, I didn't say that. But Source of Fall did. Source of Fall said that this tunnel for evacuating air from the deep underground tunnel system, the Source of Fall article says that it's located at the MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa and that it was forced open. And that's the sound that's made when thousands of cubic feet of air rush out of there. The line with us, Jerome from Pennsylvania, and Jerome, I didn't want to cut you off too quickly there, but you were asking about that sound coming out of the tunnel system and where that was located. Well, the information we have on that is from the Source of Fall article. It may or may not be true. It may or may not be a complete fabrication. We don't know.
Kevin, it sounds to me like we have a lot of, you know, the baby in the bathwater stuff, where, like, a lot of this stuff sounds ludicrous, such as the CIA versus the Army, and then you want to throw out all this. But, you know, whenever they bring underground installations, I always thought that you needed air shafts, and what better place to put the air shafts than a guarded facility.
Yeah.
But for Mr. Bosley, I have one question for you. What is your opinion on all of this? What do you think actually happened? And I know it's just an opinion I'm asking for.
Well, that's kind of what we're discussing is, you know, what would it be in retrospect? I am leaning towards some type of Tesla technology. I'm definitely leaning towards that. You know, as Kevin pointed out, the fault that does exist is a very old fault that has not had seismic activity to speak of, or at least in a very long time. And the depth of the epicenter and the fact that you have this going on there and where it went on in Colorado. But I have to give a nod to what the previous caller said about, you know, mining. Here's my only question with that. Two mining incidents on the same day, you know, to the same, gosh darn it, what's the Richter scale level, what am I, the magnitude, you know, the same magnitude in those two spots. You know, if it happened in only one of the places, I could say, yep, definitely possibly mining, but, you know, on the same day, very similar magnitudes, and in a spot where we know Tesla himself, you know, was doing things and found very interesting. My best opinion right now is Tesla technology. Somebody's fooling with that.
Do we have the technology to tell who's using Tesla technology against us to, you know, tell where it's coming from?
Well, I would think we would. I mean, if we have, supposing we are using this, I didn't work in a unit that would have used Tesla technology, that I was briefed in on anyway. But I would say if you use it, you have the means to recognize it when it is being used. So if we have it, then the answer would be yes.
So if we detect it and this was an attack, the government would know who did it, even though they wouldn't publicly state it. Is that correct? Or
That sounds characteristic, certainly.
Yeah.
And I'm not opposed to that idea.
Okay, Jerome, I want to thank you for the call. Interesting, interesting stuff. But, Jerome, you're always interesting. Are you aware of the fact, folks, that every caller tonight, the name starts with the letter J? Is there someone with a K? Do I hear a B? Do I hear a S? 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889, and even if your name starts with a J, it's okay to call in. So, is it possible, we've talked about China, we've talked about Russia, is it possible that it's Tesla technology, but it is USA Tesla technology that was used?
Well, yeah, going back to, you know, depending upon what the objective would be, maybe they were testing something and we had a bit of an oops. Maybe they were, you know what, they could be using this, perhaps they're keeping the Yellowstone Bulge in check with this. We don't know, maybe the Yellowstone Bulge would have blown a long time ago if they weren't using this. And occasionally you're going to have little rumblings here and there on the grid, because the grid connects all these plates together through energy. And, you know, or maybe the objective was to deflect a weather attack. Certainly, yeah, that's...
it's all possible, isn't it?
Very likely that it's ours, if it is that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, your first name and from where are you calling?
Debbie from San Antonio.
Yeah, Debbie.
I'm getting a lot of feedback here on my phone. I saw something on the Doug Stance YouTube a couple of days ago about the earthquake. And one of his listeners sent in a map of, it's called the North American Craton. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Well, it used to be called the Laurentia. It's about a 600 million year old plate that sits under North America.
Okay.
And over centuries, yes, it's subterranean, and over centuries, islands and land masses have crashed together and created North America, or the Archean Craton, as we call it today. And it looks like, when you look at this map, you can find it on Wikipedia, a map of it, that minerals, Virginia and Trinidad, Colorado, are right on the edge of it, or the opposite edges of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they are...
It's a huge tectonic plate. They're right in the middle of the United States.
Wow. Well, you know, if they are sitting right on the edge of it, and if it's moving, or if it did move, then that would explain... a whole lot. Sure would. Debbie, I want to thank you for the call. I have to run a little bit quick because we are racing toward the end of the show, but thanks for the call from San Antonio.
Well, you're sure welcome. Great show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right. We'll have to let that be our last call because we just don't have enough time to take another one. Walter, we've got about a minute for you to kind of wrap up what you think about all of this.
Well, as I said before, I think it shows indications of possible advanced alternative technologies to, you know, weapons technologies we're used to, possibly Tesla technology. It certainly is more intriguing than the average seismic activity. It bears close scrutiny.
So you don't buy the source of fall assertion of some type of conflict between the U.S. military and the CIA. But what about...
Absolutely not.
Okay, so what about the assertion that these were nuclear blasts?
That what?
That these were nuclear blasts. You know, big bombs go boom, 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 nuclear. Are you there? I think he's gone again. Yeah, I believe he is. Well, you know, folks, I don't know what it was. It doesn't appear to be natural to me, but it could be. I think I have to go with Walter's assertion earlier that he's leaning towards Tesla technology.